Hello, this is Susan Smith-Nash, and I'm going to read a short story called Monkey's Paw. Full moon, dark sky, with light, wispy clouds over the moon's face of craters. Tangly Kerrer was driving in the middle of the high plains. She heard yaps of coyotes and yowls of something feline. A dark, feral shadow lurked along the edge of the blacktop county road with gravel shoulder. Was it a chupacabra? Tangley shivered. Would the chupacabra smell her clammy, perfumed sweat, chase her down and feed on her blood, and then swallow her soul? The cattle guard rattled as she drove over it to enter a dark, shambling ranch. She hoped it was the Freestoner ranch. She had been looking for it and wanted to approach Mr. Freestoner to sign him up for an oil and gas lease. "Monkey's Paw or Death Ruby?" asked the man, wearing a faded red bandana, narrow boot-cut Wrangler jeans, a jean jacket, and rodeo belt buckle. He looked like the kind of cowboy you'd never see in a cowboy movie. He was too weather-beaten. His eyes were vaguely feral. His nose was all the way wild, totally coyote. "So, if given the choice, if you had to make a choice, which would you go with?" he asked. "Monkey's Paw or Death Ruby?" "What are they, anyway?" asked Tangley. She had driven 7 hours nonstop from central Oklahoma and was in no mood for cryptic Yoda-like pronouncements from a retro cowboy washed up on the beach sands of time. "And imagine you can't say no. You can't refuse to choose." "Well, Mr. Freestoner, I have the documents ready for you to execute. You'll be glad you did this." She wanted to get it over with, drive to Amarillo, get a room at a comfortable discount version of an upscale hotel. The idea of lying on a soft mattress at a Hyatt Place or a Marriott Courtyard seemed more important than anything else at this point. "Ma'am, Mr. Freestoner has been dead for 10 years. "What?" Tangley was not amused. "How did I miss that? I checked the records myself. I never make mistakes like this." "I'd say this was a pretty big one," said the cowboy unsympathetically. "So, ma'am, what would you do? Which would you choose?" "Sir, I think I'd choose the one that would get me away from this place as quickly as possible." He looked crestfallen. "Sorry, I didn't mean to be rude. I'm just really tired. And, well, this means I'm going to have to go back and recheck records, reissue leases and drafts." "The Monkey's Paw grants you 3 wishes, but each one comes with a horrific price. You'll pay. Yes, Missy, you'll pay. But the Death Ruby's no bargain. The Death Ruby will make you fabulously wealthy, but all who touch it, except for the owner, die." "Well, that's easy," said Tangley, still annoyed. "I'd go with the Death Ruby. It's a perfect secret weapon. I'd be rich. And, well, hey, it's a really good way to get rid of the competition." "For having such a sweet face, you sure say some mean things," said the cowboy. "You haven't heard the half of them," said Tangley. "Got any coffee around here? It was a long drive, and to tell the truth, I'm in a bad mood." "You don't say," said the cowboy. "Well, I'll see you at the bunkhouse." "By the way, I'm not sure I quite buy it that the owner of a Death Ruby stays healthy. I would think that everyone would eventually be killed by the thing. I mean, it makes sense, but some people would just be killed more quickly than others." "Think what you want," said the cowboy. "I wouldn't want to tangle with you, though." "Sign up Freestoner, then keep going. See if you can get information. We've got a chance to lease Morell's granddaughter's interest. I'd like to find the location, drill a new well, and test the formations. It will be good for all of us if it works out," said Dad. "What makes you so sure?" said Tangley. "Why not leave well enough alone? Something was wrong with the story she had been told. Something was behind the scenes, between the lines. Tangley pulled up to the rock-and-mortar ranch house. The clock on her dashboard said 4:40 p.m. She took her keys out of the ignition of the Blazer she was driving. The keys felt cold and metallic in her hand. She walked under the stunted sycamore tree. The ranch house and office were at the edge of a wash, or, as the locals called it, an arroyo. That meant that there were a few trees. Acquiescing to the cowboy's insistence that she take a look around the ranch, Tangley attempted to mind her manners. It was not easy. Cattle shuffled slowly, mesmerized by the wind turbines spinning round and round, silently, slowly, both positive and negative, in direct response to the currents of cold air flowing down from the north in North America's most prominent wind corridor. "If you'll pour me a cup of coffee, I'll work it in while you show me around," said Tangley. She fully expected coffee the consistency of tar and the pH of battery acid. She was pleasantly surprised that it was fresh and tasted like espresso shots with hot water. Cafe Americano. She was in the middle of a ghost ranch. No one had the courage to admit that's what it was, but Tangley Carrere knew immediately. At first, she wondered if the cowboy she was talking to was a phantom. She realized, after he drank boiled, quote, cowboy coffee, with the grounds at the bottom of the mug, unrolled a yellowed newspaper from 1955, then started talking about how people had started buying up all the water rights to the Ogallala Aquifer, that, well, there was no way of knowing. His language hinted at transporting people from Mexico. He could be an apparition from the past. He could be from right here, right now. He could be a living outlier, rafted in on a glacier of time. He could be the bones of a memory to be held by someone sometime in the future. Who could possibly know? "Well, I have to admit, it's nice to have company for a change," said the cowboy. "Oh, and by the way, my name's Chance." "I'll bet people called you Lucky when you were a kid," said Tangley. She realized she needed to sound folksy. Sometimes being down to earth came easily to her. Sometimes, though, it didn't. At this time, she seemed standoffish or detached. Something like a process server, paid for putting her emotions in a bucket by the door. "Nope, I was never lucky. That was the cat. Now, that cat was lucky." Tangley smiled. If she could, she'd put her emotions not in a box or a bucket, but in an air-sick bag. There was something warm about the breeze, although the air was chilly. "Dad, if you're going to buy anyone's mineral rights or buy the surface so you can lease it out to the wind turbine companies, you're going to have to chum the waters." "Throw bloody, cut-up fish into the waters? Draw the sharks?" asked Dad incredulously. "Why would we want to attract the sharks?" "Well, it's because after they've fed, they'll lead us to the live fish," said Tangley. "Why would we want live fish?" "Dad," said Tangley, suddenly exasperated, "I'm speaking metaphorically." I wouldn't if I were you." "What? Speak metaphorically?" "Right. Don't underestimate the ranchers and their families. You're not giving them any credit for intelligence. More than one city slicker has found this out, much to their dismay. And, well, Tangley, you're about as city slicker as they come." "Dad, I don't know who or what it is that you see when you look at me and talk to me, but I'm telling you, it's not all the way I perceive at all the way I perceive myself. Give me some credit, Dad." "Do the people who chum the waters ever get bitten by the sharks they're trying to trick? "Oh, no, never," said Tangley, straight-faced. "When you baited a trap, did you ever catch anything you didn't want?" "Absolutely," said Dad. He paused. "And I'll tell you, Tangley, I learned a lot from that." "Well, Dad, I've got to go. Cowboy said he had some apple cobbler for dessert. I thought you were going to spend the night in Amarillo, said Dad. Well, Dad, the air here is beautiful. It's fresh and clear. It's amazing. Anyway, Dad left. The picture clicked end call on her BlackBerry. Cattle silhouetted against the setting sun. The clouds were spectacular. An antique windmill used to bring water from the aquifer to the surface. It rattled and creaked in the wind. Cattle moved together. They seemed to move toward the water. Then they moved en masse in another direction. They seemed to be moving away from the rays of the orange-pink light shooting across the horizon. Tangley watched them, fell into a reverie, then blinked. The cattle. Were they moving? Were they retreating? Tangley could swear they were shuffling slowly, softly, backwards. Blink. I looked down at the coffee cup. A quick rundown of what she had eaten. Mushrooms? No. Brownies? No. Quote, herbal tea? No. There was something about the earth-colored farmhouse and the bright white wind turbine set along the fence line in the direction of the prevailing breeze that gave Tangley pause. A face flickered at the end of one of the windows. Wisps of clouds cast specters or shadows on the smooth prairie cover. Cattle grunted to each other. When the grass waved in the breeze, the clouds seemed to edge backwards against the direction of the wind. Tangley braced herself. There was something here. It was making her uneasy. The property was located in the shadow of the old XIT or Excite ranch in the Texas Panhandle north and west of Amarillo. From 1885 to 1912, the ranch encompassed more than 3 million acres. There were about 300 windmills, 150,000 head of cattle that grazed on the XIT ranch lands, and they were tended to by hundreds of cowboys. Ordinarily, Tangley would not be anywhere near this part of the panhandle, but supposedly a deep well had been drilled here during one of the booms, and the drill cutting streamed oil with strong odor of gas. The operator, Carton Morrell, who also owned a large part of the former XIT or Excite ranch, had run out of money. The well cost a lot more than he had bargained for, but it would pay off. He just needed to raise money. So while he set out to raise funds to continue drilling and to complete the well, Morrell had done his best to suppress the information. He hoped to sell his remaining interest in the ranch and then do the completion. The poor guy never had the chance. His shiny black Ford pickup was found in a ravine. He was nowhere to be seen. In fact, he was never anywhere to be seen from that day on. He disappeared. Dead, most likely, said Dad. Quite a shame. Morrell was a good guy. I always liked him. The sky was a blue of childhood storybooks. The prairie switchgrass was the straw gold of memory. The roof was the slate gray of long-forgotten dreams. Say, Chance, what is it like living in a ranch house that was abandoned 100 years ago? Asked Tangley. It was dark. It would be dangerous to drive back to Amarillo due to mule deer and coyotes. Road hazards.
Well, it's nothing I'd recommend for someone like you, said Chance.
I can handle myself. I've done a lot of field work. I had to. Geology degree, said Tangley. There's something about this wizened old cowboy that got under her skin.
That's why I would not recommend it. If you've ever done anything you wish you hadn't in your life, you're not going to have an easy time of it around here, once the moon's up and the wind carries the voices.
What voices?
Coyote.
Well, that's nothing.
And the whispers. The whispers that come up from inside you and swirl around your inner ear.
Okay, well, that's enough for me tonight. Tangley stood up. Thanks, Chance. I'm heading back to Amarillo.
Yep, you are, he said. What's that supposed to mean?
Well, it's where you started out, after all. You don't have much choice in the matter, as far as I can tell.
Well, maybe. Maybe you're right. But it's where I held my first job.
She noticed he had a smooth wooden box in his hand. He stood up and made a motion to give her the box.
Well, Miss Tangley, please take this with you. It's a present from the ranch.
Wow, it's beautiful. An antique cigar box?
The gift was so unexpected that Tangley was taken by surprise. She was touched. The soft sentiment was quickly replaced by suspicion.
Well, Chance, what's inside?
A monkey's paw?
A death ruby?
Heck, 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 heck. Chance's cackle was not exactly a laugh.
Just a souvenir cigar box from the old XIT Excite Ranch. Thought you might like it.
Tangley accepted it, opened up the lid gingerly. She half expected a bat to fly out. The box was empty. Inside, the wood was burned with the XIT brand.
Well, thanks, Chance. You're a nice guy. This was very generous of you.
Hick, 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 hick. He laughed again. Here's the thermos of that coffee you like so much. Watch out for the mule, dear.
She got into the vehicle. Time, 11:45 a.m. And Tangley checked her watch.
Time, 10:45 p.m.
In the space of her vehicle, time had run backwards. She looked at the second counter.
Time was, in fact, going in reverse.
This is Susan Smith Nash, and you've been listening to a story entitled Monkey's Paw. Hope you've enjoyed it. Thank you for listening.